Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Week. We've made it here. This coming weekend, we're celebrating 50 magical years of the Walt Disney World Resort, and we're going to be here to cover everything for you, as we'll all be down at Walt Disney World this coming weekend. But we got to get you there, and today, we've got a trip report to get you out the door and down the road. We're heading out to speak with listener Lauren in Indiana about her college graduation trip down to Walt Disney World. They stayed at Pop Century. They went to all four theme parks and Disney Springs. Great times meeting characters, riding Frozen Ever After with just a 5-minute wait, even singing, doing the Frozen sing-along. One of the highlights of the trip, Muppets for the first time. Great meals at places like Mama Melrose, Via Napoli, Crystal Palace. Lots of fun stories on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. If you're headed to a Disney destination, they can help you out right now. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so very much to our patrons for allowing us to put out 4 shows a week all around the world. It's all because of your support that we get to do this show. Our patrons also get a 5th show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. To check out all the details on supporting the show, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1972 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great and relaxing weekend. Yes, this was the weekend before the storm for all of us Disney fans. A lot of us are heading down to Walt Disney World this coming, wrapping up this week, maybe Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. A lot of folks heading down to celebrate a little birthday party down in Central Florida called Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary celebration, the most magical celebration on earth. We'll be down there with all the coverage, so do follow us on the social media. I'm at BrGuestMike. Follow on social media, again, Instagram and Twitter, because I'll be posting away as I'm down there with Ricky and Pam and Scott. And many listeners all over the resort. We'll be in the Magic Kingdom on October 1st. We'll be in Epcot on October 2nd. Probably Epcot on October 3rd. So you see us, come by, say hi. Let's get some pictures, selfies, all that good stuff. But today, we got to kick off the week as we always do with a trip report. And today, we are headed 2 states to my east. Heading out to Indiana, the Hoosier State, with Lauren. Lauren, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm sorry that this has been a trip report delayed. We had a double booking at one point. We had COVID. I mean, this is one you hung in with me for this. So
yeah.
I'm so glad that you took the time to come on today, and I can't wait to share your story.
I know. I'm so excited.
All right. So before we do this, now this might be the last time we do this. Obviously, it is the last time we do this before the 50th anniversary. I got to ask you. Disney calls you today. You know, they're like, we're running out of time. You got to tell us right now. You get to bring back a promotion, an attraction, a restaurant, a parade. You get to bring back anything from the past 50 years. What are you going to bring back?
Oh, I've been thinking about it, honestly. I was like, I should be prepared for this. I would bring back the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Good call.
In Magic Kingdom.
Good call. Yeah, see, I'm Spectral Magic, which... similar, very, very similar. Same venue, you know, just a little bit different soundtrack. Don't have the scary clowns in Main Street, but
yeah.
Fun fact, I will tell you this. So I used to do, when I was a school teacher back in the day, I was in charge. I started something at our school called Wedgwood TV. Our school was Wedgwood Elementary. And I'd seen this at another school. I always steal everybody else's ideas. I went to another school for professional development. They had a closed circuit TV show for their announcements, like the, you know, what was for lunch, you know, what's happening in the library. So my buddy and I, which we talked about pre-show, my good buddy, Dave, we became the 2 anchors, and we anchored a morning show every morning. And then we turned over to the kids, but we had too much fun doing it. So we did it for a while in getting back to Main Street Electrical Parade. So we always started the show with, you know, we'd have like an intro song, and then we did the Pledge of Allegiance. And so when everybody knew, because everybody, teachers had to turn the TVs on in their rooms when they came in the morning. And when you heard that first din, 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 that meant you heard it throughout the school, because we had a gigantic building, five of every grade. For years, that's what you heard. And every kid stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance like that was the national anthem. And it was crazy because
awesome.
It was so weird because like our kids were subliminally trained that, okay, that means that we're going to hit those first few notes of them. They didn't know it was Main Street Electrical Parade. I just picked it because it was catchy. And so it played, because then as soon as that first string of notes came off, then we flipped to the video and it showed the flag and everybody was getting ready to do the pledge. So yeah, back in the day, that was it was a good thing. It was kind of funny. It was, I still,
that's awesome.
I see every time I hear that beginning of that song, I'm like, I pledge, you know? So, good memory. And I'm glad you brought that back. So, let me ask you this though, a Disney fan, what's your background in all the fandom? Like how do you find a Disney podcast and all that?
Yeah. So I grew up with Disney. I mean, I have Disney things all around my room that you cannot see. We went multiple times when I was a kid up until fifth grade, and then I joined a travel swim team. And because of that, that cut back on a lot of vacations. And then any vacation we took, it would be like to go see family or to the beach. And, you know, I've gotten a Disney podcast my fall semester freshman year of college at Valparaiso when I moved in, because I moved in 2 hours away from home. I didn't know anyone. And I felt kind of lonely. I was like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, I'll just go look for a podcast. And I came across Be Our Guest, and I just started listening, and it kind of sparked that Disney love back in me. And so ever since then, we've gone every summer except for 2020 because of COVID. But, you know, I just think Disney has always been a part of me, and I'll always be a part of Disney. It's a love for me. And yeah, I can talk about it all the time with people, and they're like, we swear you're like a Disney nerd. All you know is Disney. And I'm like, yep.
But it is kind of a fun thing, because with the Disney fandom, you can kind of, you know, it can burn hot for a while for a lot of folks, and then it can kind of go on the back burner as you're going through, you know, different phases of your life. You know, for me, like when you have kids or get married, you know, it's not that important. But then when the kids get a certain age, people say, oh, we got to take them down to see, you know, see Mickey Mouse or to see Buzz Lightyear or what have you. And it's one of those things that it's kind of like an old friend. It's like always there, you know. And in the podcasts, I agree with you about podcasting, because I've used podcasts to kind of be a friend in my ear as I train for races when I'm out, you know, in the morning before the sun comes up. It's quite lonely. You're the only, I'm the only idiot out there before the sun comes up running around a lake. But it's one of those things that one of the things that gets me out of bed is like, okay, I got this guy to listen to that, you know, I consider him friends. I've never met him, but it's like, what is he up to this week? You know, and what crazy story are they going to talk about? So I appreciate you letting us in there while you're out of Valparaiso. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It got me through my 4 years of college. So I thank you guys for that.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, so real quick, what was your major? What'd you major in? I'm just curious about that.
Social work.
Nice. Well, thanks for being elementary education. All those, good luck. I just say it's a lot of thankless jobs. A lot of work. It'll turn your gray, your hair gray really quick. Let's talk about your trip. So give us how this trip came about, because this was one from a little bit back, but I think it's going to help folks that are looking to go maybe spring break of next year, because now's the time to book those trips.
Yes. So originally, back January 2020, we're going to take a time travel trip back. I had just got back to Valpo, and I had just celebrated my birthday, and my mom called me and was like, hey, happy early graduation. We're going to Disney this summer. And I was like, oh, awesome. Like, thank you so much. That's so sweet. And then, you know, March, COVID happened, and then Disney shut down. And we were supposed to go in July of 2020, and ultimately we had to move it. Mm-hmm. So we moved it to this past March. It was like the very first week of March this year. And we were like, do we just wait till the summer? And I was like, you know what? No, let's just go in the spring. It won't be as hot. Maybe it won't be as busy, you know? Let's just change it up. Let's do something different. And so I kind of then took the reins on the trip. I planned everything from the get-go. I sat on Disney, on the phone with them for 6 hours one day.
Welcome to my world, by the way. That's I got a master's degree to be able to sit on the phone for 6 hours. Yes, I get it. It's a thing. Yeah, I understand.
I was like, it was like the day when like tickets and like bookings were coming out, and I was like, oh, maybe I can just get in real fast. Well, I couldn't get in, but my mom did on her phone. So then my mom didn't have her phone for 6+ hours.
Yep, I know.
Sorry, Mom. Sorry.
Skype is your friend. I call on my cell phone, on Skype, on Google Hangout. Yeah, whatever it takes. Yeah, no, I get it. So, but you took the reins. So now, when you picked this first week, was it because of just your scheduling, or was it something? Was it because of like Flower and Garden was going on? Was there a reason you went down at the beginning of March?
Yeah, so I'm in grad school. I started grad school right after I graduated in May 2020 for my undergrad. And my grad school's online, and I was doing that, working a full-time job, and getting ready to start an internship in the summer. And so I was like, okay, honestly, like, we're going to have to go in the spring because of my schedule, and it fell where it was the end of one, like, semester for me. So then I would be starting a next one, the week of Disney, which wouldn't be as stressful as like a finals week.
Right.
And so I had to plan it around my schedule. And I was like, okay, we got to go when I can get off work. We got to go around grad school. We got to go before I start internship. And it just kind of fell on that week. I did not know that Flower and Garden was going to be that week. I completely spaced it was a thing. And so we actually went to Epcot the day before the festival.
Well, I mean, less crowd.
I mean, we still got to see like all the flowers and the topiaries and everything, but like it was kind of a blessing in disguise that we went the day before, which I can go on about a little bit later, but yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, you guys stayed at Pop Century. Actually, I just changed for my trip later on this week. I was staying at Coronado, switched to Pop to save a little money. Because it was available, and I want a little Skyliner access, got to admit. Now, you mentioned this was your first experience with the Skyliner, but why did you guys pick Pop initially? Was it the draw of the Skyliner, or was it the rooms? Was it the theme? What'd you got there?
Yeah, so the Skyliner drawed me in. I was like, I need to go on this thing. I need to experience it. And then, you know, the last trip we had taken where we stayed in a hotel was when I was in fifth grade, and we stayed at Pop. And I was like, okay, you know, we've been to Pop before, we like it, we like the theming, it's really nice, it has the Skyliner. I was like, it's kind of like the best of both worlds here. And so that's why I ultimately picked it, because my parents are like, where do you want to stay? Mm-hmm. That's in budget.
Yeah, right. I know.
I was like, well, we could do Polynesian, but that's just way too much money.
Right.
So I was like, well, we're gonna go to Pop, and that's how I kind of decided that we would go there.
Yeah, see, if you know, I let my daughters pick, you know, a vacation, I'm like, where do you want to stay in the value category? I gotta quantify that, because Mallory has like a Beverly Hills kind of taste, and we're not actually on that kind of a budget. So yeah, that's one of those things. I totally get it as a dad. Okay, so you guys go down, and you said that you had some friends that were local. So that first night upon your arrival, you guys just met up, and you went out to some local Orlando place. How was that?
Yeah, so I have some family that lives down there in Orlando, and two of my cousins, their husbands and kids live there. And so that first full day, we didn't go to a park. We just hung out with them. We went to, like, lunch. We just hung out. And, you know, it was really nice to not have to jump right into a park and feel stress. And so it kind of helped lead into the week to where I wasn't as stressed. My parents weren't as stressed. We got to see family who we hadn't seen in about 2 years. So that was a lot of fun. It was a great time. And I love seeing my cousins. So
actually, it makes it a lot better for the trip down if you're not saying, you know, like, because I'm in that boat. Sometimes I'm just like, I just give up that travel day. I'm just like, I'm just going to get to the hotel, maybe swim, grab some dinner at the food court, call it a night. But those days where I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting there at like 4. I'm like, well, I could still get to it. Then I'm stressed. Like, okay, now Magical Express seems to take longer. It takes longer to get my bags. You know, Then it's just like, I feel like I'm on the clock the whole time. So you're right. If you can just take that first travel day and just relax and, like you said, catch up with some friends, have a good dinner, then because the next morning I'm looking at your notes. You guys went to the studio, so you took advantage of the Skyliner straight away. Right there. So how was your day in the studios, your first full day in the parks?
It was so much fun. We didn't do Rise of the Resistance, which I woke up early for that to get it on, and we just didn't get it, which was okay. But, you know, it was fun because we hadn't done, like, a full Hollywood Studios day since I was a kid.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a whole new experience. However, there was a glitch, like, first thing, because we went to, our first ride of the day was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And my mom has multiple sclerosis, so she's in a wheelchair. And so she's like, can I get on it? Like, are we going to be okay? It's not going to break down, is it? I was like, oh, we'll be fine. Yeah, it's okay.
And I've taught my family, never say those kind of things out loud because you've just spoken it into existence. Like, my wife will ask me all the time, do you catch up on your emails? I'm like, I just got 12 emails because you said that. Yes, thanks. Yes, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. I spoke it into existence and we got on. It was only like a 15-minute wait. We got on as we're going into the last room. Ride stops. All the lights come on. And you just hear... we're having to get everyone off. So then my mom is sitting between me and my dad. She's freaking out. She's like, you lied to me. Why did you do that? Like, how are we going to get off of here? What do we do? I'm freaking out. And I was like, okay, we're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so we got off safely and we got three of like the fast pass kind of things. Nice. And my mom looked at me and she was like, I'm not getting back on that. You cannot make me get back on that. We're done.
Well, she saw like 95. Okay. She saw like 95% of the ride, it sounds like. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
Happy, happy she was ending.
She was like, I don't need to see the end. It's okay. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Honestly, if you get to the room where you get to do the little cha-cha dance, it's all gravy after that. You know, nothing,
yeah.
Nothing big.
I was like, we got through the dancing scene. That's all that matters. We're good to go. That's it. But that was like the only hiccup that day. And then, you know, my parents gave me all three passes. So I did Slinky Dog Dash, Tower of Terror, and then I went back on Mickey and Minnie's to go through the whole thing, which was fun. And then my favorite part of the day, I love the Frozen sing-along.
Me too.
I love it.
This past summer, we did it twice, and I had forgotten how good that is. And it's not just like the songs. The songs are powerful because I just have kind of... It's weird because Frozen, the original movie, came out on my birthday on November 27th in theaters. And I went to see it with, and I have two daughters. And, you know, there's a lot of things like it seemed like, man, that movie was like released for me, even though it's like, you know, it's a little girl movie for the most part. But, you know, the songs are great, but it's like the humor in there and the storytellers are so good. And the visual effects within the theater, it's a solid show. And I forgot how good it was.
It's so good. It's so good. I'm a big Frozen fan. Like, I love Olaf. Like, I wore Olaf ears to Hollywood Studios. And because my mom is in a wheelchair, we got front row seats. And so I'm interacting with the storytellers. And, you know, they're singing with me when Hans comes out. You know, I forgot her name, but the woman storyteller. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, hubba bubba, like all the things. And then all of us older women are like, oh my gosh, like, yes. My parents are sitting by me. My mom's dying. She's laughing so hard. And my dad's just sitting there like, oh my gosh, why is my 23-year-old daughter like doing this right now in front row? But it was just such a great experience. And they sell the show.
They do.
Like, they're just so good. And, you know, I always have a tear at the end when the snow starts going and they're singing Let It Go. And I'm like... I'm okay.
I think what it is, when you walk out of that theater, you see that everybody, I mean, they can take, you know, the theater's pretty large. Because I remember back when they used to have American Idol Experience in there, you know, it holds quite a few people for a show.
Oh, yeah.
And that last scene with the snow, with Let It Go and everything, it's so powerful. Like, when everybody gets up to leave the theater, like you said, I mean, everybody's happy. Like, everybody walks out there like,
yeah.
You don't see anybody really grumpy. Everybody's like, man, that was a good show. Everybody's like, that was awesome. And you don't get that everywhere, you know? Some people are like, eh, that was boring. Not there.
Yeah. I love that show. And then we did Muppets 3D, which we had never done before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we did a lot of things that we've never done before on this trip, which was kind of fun. But yeah, we've never done it before. And I'm not a big 3D person. It can give me headaches, but I made it through that one okay. I thought it was funny. It was cute. And my parents liked it. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. We did walk through Galaxy's Edge because my dad is a big Star Wars fan. My mom hates Star Wars. Oof. She could have cared. I know. I know. And I was like, oh gosh. She's like, we can walk through, but I'm not going to know anything that's going on. Like, this is for you and your father. Like,
oh, she's a good sport.
I know nothing. Yeah. Because she knew that there would be other things for her throughout the trip. Right. And she knew that this is like the one thing that my dad like wanted to see.
It's a good, that's a great tip for a Disney trip because it's going to be things that you're into, some things other people in your party are into, you know, just kind of absorb it all. So let me ask you though, real quick, you know, your mom kind of took one for the team by going through Galaxy's Edge, but what were your thoughts? Because obviously you had heard a lot about it. Did it live up to what you were expecting to see, or was there anything surprised you about Galaxy's Edge?
I thought it was really cool. I didn't get into Star Wars until I was in college. And so that was only like 4 or 5 years ago. And so it's all still kind of new to me. And I was like, I have no idea what some of this stuff is. And my dad would be like, oh, this is this. And like, this is this. But I just thought it was really cool just to be there and to see it, like, and just to kind of walk through like Star Wars and be up close with things. So I thought it was just a really cool experience.
Yeah, that, I think that's one of those things that, if you don't understand, like, the whole canon and all the movies, there's going to be a lot of stuff you miss. But I think, generally, you can kind of see it and see, it's pretty neat. You know, it's just, there's droids, there's a Wookiee, and I don't know what that exactly is. There's stormtroopers, and it looks like a heroine over there. So, yeah, totally get that. So let me ask you, though, about you guys that night had dinner over at Mama Melrose, which is, I hate to even say it out loud. I love this. This is my go-to place before my marathons every January. I eat there the Saturday night before the marathon. So what were your thoughts? Again, back near Muppets, your first time on Muppets, it's kind of a nice little twofer.
Yeah. It wasn't our favorite restaurant. We just, like, we went back because that was one of the first restaurants we went to when I was a kid. And so it was just nice to be back there and to experience it. Like, the food was really good, but we really enjoyed some of our later dinners, but it was a good one to like just start the trip off with. It was just kind of a walk down memory lane.
So did you find the food though to be what you were expecting? I mean, you really can't mess up Italian food. I just like the lasagna or the spaghetti and meatballs. And I think it's got, you know, it's cute. It's nothing extravagant, but it's a nice little go-to.
Yeah, I agree. It was just so nice. And it was just like laid back after a pretty busy like first day just to kind of sit and just talk about what we got to see and do. It was a nice relaxing time. And the food was great.
Oh, I'm in the mood for it now. I got to wait till January. Not too long. Okay, so let me ask you about the next day you guys head to Epcot. Again, Skyliner Access, transfer there at Caribbean Beach and head on over. The day before Flower and Garden, like you mentioned, but what were the highlights of this day besides seeing all the new topiaries?
Yeah, so the highlight of this day, I think the biggest thing was it was not busy at all. 90% of the rides were walk-on. The longest wait I had was like 20 minutes for Soarin'. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to see the princesses do like their little cavalcade thingy. And then one of my favorite parts is since you come in International Gateway from the Skyliner, we turn right at France. And then I just saw the Beauty and the Beast topiary. And that's one of our favorite movies. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like there's no one here and I can get a photo in front of this and it's just dead.
Yes.
And it was amazing. I was like, there's literally no one back here. And it was just such a neat experience to walk with my parents like through like some of the countries when it wasn't busy.
So
that was a lot of fun.
Did you guys get there like right as it opened at 11 o'clock? Because that is weird to me that Epcot opens that late in the day. But were you guys getting there right as it opened at 11 and then kind of went through World Showcase first?
Yeah, we got there around 11. And the first thing I was like, I need to get on Frozen first because I knew I was going to get a wait time later on in the day. And I was like, let's just go do it. Walk through the countries, take our time, look at the topiaries. And so, you know, it was just a lot of fun. And when we got to Frozen, it was only like a 5-minute wait. And so it was just really nice.
That is it. When you, 5-minute wait for Frozen, you need to put that in a bottle and save it because that is not happening very much.
I
would
know.
Definitely go the day before Flower and Garden goes to have a 5-minute wait at Frozen. So that's a nice call. Any other highlights as far as attractions or any other things you saw in the park at Epcot that day before you guys had dinner at Via Napoli? You guys are 2 for 2 on the Italian dinners, it looks like, back to back. I like it.
Yeah, I love Italian food. It's my favorite. But yeah, I think, you know, just getting to experience Epcot with not a lot of people there was a new thing for us. Because normally when we go down, it's jam-packed and you just can't get anywhere. Yeah, just getting to experience it. And then Soarin' with not a long wait time was fun. And then just walking around with my parents and just talking about what we were seeing. It was a whole new experience for us. Because you're like, oh, look at this topiary. Look at this topiary. And it was all new. And it was just so much fun.
And something like that is so much better, though, too, when you don't have the crowds. Because I've been there, like, the, you know, the heat and the busiest time for Flower and Garden. And it's great to see the topiaries, but you're not getting your pictures with them. Because, you know, it's like 20 people deep at each one. You know, it takes you like 15 minutes. And it's like, do I want to stand in line for 15 minutes to get my picture in front of a topiary when I could be, you know, going and riding on Soarin' for twice that weight? It's not that bad. So yeah, I mean, good point. And maybe I'll have to check it out right before the festival starts next time. Sounds like a good tip there. Now let's jump to the next park, Animal Kingdom, on the next day. This was a Wednesday, and I think midweek there in, but how would you say the overall the crowds were? Because you're there the first week of March, and this is kind of, I don't know if it's public spring break yet for a lot of public schools, but colleges have their, everything is really messed up though since 2020. I don't even know. I'm trying to think, like, traditionally this would have been like kind of college spring break period, you know, and people are down for spring training for baseball. But how'd you feel overall the crowds were for the week you were there?
I felt like the crowds, they were not horrible at all. I think, you know, Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom were pretty busy, but they weren't horrible. And then, you know, Epcot and Animal Kingdom, they were basically dead. Like, I mean, with our Animal Kingdom day, we got there and I went on Everest 2 times in a row with no wait. And then we went and we kind of just walked around a little bit. And then later on in the day, I went back to Everest and rode it 3 more times in a row with still like no wait.
That's my nightmare. I usually do it once a year on the marathon course, and some years I don't even do that. I'm getting too old for it. When it goes backwards, it just gets me. I can't take it.
Oh, it's my favorite ride. It's one of my favorites. I love it. But I think the highlight of that day for me was that Flight of Passage was a walk-on.
That's crazy.
At noon.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. We went to Pandora. We had never been to Pandora before. And I was like, oh, like, I'm going to do this right. There's a posted, like, 30-minute wait time. Like, I'll meet up with you after. Or, like, go hang out somewhere. Go do something. I don't know. And it was I walked right on.
That's crazy.
At noon.
Did you enjoy that attraction? Was it one of your favorite attractions? Or what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I'm not a big fan of Avatar. It's not my favorite thing.
I've still never seen it.
Yeah, I watched it once. I just can't get into it. But the ride was pretty. I really liked the feel of it. It was really cool. But I think Soarin' still has my heart in Epcot between the two.
I agree. That's Soarin's my jam. I like that better. It's nice. It's like the green side of Flight of Passage. Like if you had to do Mission Space Orange, Mission Space Green, Soarin's the easy side. So there,
yes.
I agree with you. Now, let's talk about your dinner there. One of my favorite you're going to all my favorite, like, under the radar restaurants, Yak and Yeti. That place is good. And nobody ever talks about it. But what'd you think?
It was our first time there. It was so good. I loved every moment of it. I could just rave about it. It was just so yummy. And, you know, we kind of went towards park closing. And so by the time we got out, like, we ate this delicious meal. By the time we got out, there was not really a lot of people left in the park. So that was really cool, because I was like, oh, there's, like, no one here near the Tree of Life. There's no one on this pathway. Like, it just felt like we had it to ourselves, and it was really neat.
And if you can do that, I encourage everybody to do that at least one night of your trip. Book an ADR. Scott's great at this, because I never book ADRs when I go down. When he's there, he always books them, and they're always great. And I don't sweat it, because I don't care where I eat. He picks out great meals. And so one of the things he typically always does is he'll book an ADR right at park closing or something. And when you can be one of the last out of a park, it's magical, because it's so relaxing. But on top of that, you know, you get some amazing pictures with nobody around. Like, on the way out, you could probably stroll by and really get a cool shot of the Tree of Life, you know, maybe at sunset time, or, you know, at dark and nobody's around. We did that at the Magic Kingdom back in August, and we'll never ever have pictures like that again. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I think, like, the Animal Kingdom day, which this was my mom's favorite thing, because I cried like a child out of fear, was she was like, if we just do one thing for me, I just want to do It's Tough to Be a Bug. And I was like,
that's interesting. I was like, if I've ever said that, that's great.
I was like, oh no. And so we went on, I sat down, I did not remain seating for more than 5 minutes. I ended up having to do stand up and like move around. I was like basically sitting like on my dad's lap. It just, bugs freak me out. I don't care if they're fake. Like, I just cannot. So my mom is sitting in the wheelchair next to me. She's dying of laughter. She was like, you are 23 years old. Get it together. And I was like, no, this is ridiculous. Like, I just can't do bugs. And so that was a highlight memory for her, because anytime we bring it up, she just starts cackling.
I love stuff like that, though, because that's a memory like that you guys have that not everybody else has. Let me ask you one other thing, though, about your mom in Animal Kingdom. I'm really curious about this, because back in the day when a lot of the Run Disney races would go through Animal Kingdom, because of the terrain, you know, it's great because Animal Kingdom's so themed, but the ground has a lot of bumps, you know, and it's not so smooth like, say, a Main Street USA in the Magic Kingdom or the World Showcase Promenade in Epcot. Did your mom have any trouble with her wheelchair getting around in Animal Kingdom with the, kind of the textured terrain?
There would be some spots that were definitely worse than others, especially if it was like a more crowded area. I mean, she would make the noises of like,
that's how I did when I ran. It was like, this is rough. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she was a trooper for it. Usually if we were in a set area and I was like, hey, I'm going to go do Everest and then I'm going to go here real fast afterwards, she would just stay in one spot with my dad, so she wouldn't have to be moved everywhere. So just for us, for her, like, just finding that middle ground location to where she's near like different things that then I can walk to, so she doesn't have to move, was a big thing for us.
That's a great plan. That's why I love the show, because, you know, somebody could be in a similar situation and it's a good tip. Somebody might feel a lot more comfortable knowing, okay, now I've heard from somebody that's been in that situation. So I really appreciate that. And here's the big question I have looking at your notes, because you're this huge Disney fan, right? I mean, you love Disney. You've mentioned that already on the show many times. You've been to Hollywood Studios. You've been to Epcot. You've been to Animal Kingdom. Was it not killing you that at this point you've been there for four days, actually, or, you know, 3.5 days at this point, you still haven't been to the Magic Kingdom? Is that hard to save that for the last park? I could not do that. I cannot do that.
Yeah. I guess my way of thinking is Magic Kingdom is my favorite park, and I wanted to end our park days with my favorite, which is a blessing and a curse. It was just so hard, but it was so worth it in the end just to end there at the castle.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't have the discipline. I'm like, I gotta go. I can't wait 4 days. I'd have to change things. Okay, so walk us through. So you mentioned it was worth it. So how was your day at the Magic Kingdom? What were some of the highlights?
Yeah, so our Magic Kingdom day, I actually didn't do a lot of rides. I mean, I did like Little Mermaid, Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, and like a few others here and there. But, you know, it was busier that day, which kind of led to it. But we enjoy just sitting kind of outside of Splash, kind of near Pecosville, and just watching the Cavalcades come out. Like, that was a big highlight for us, especially like me and my mom, because we love characters. We love meeting them and all of that. And I had a really magical moment because Winnie the Pooh is one of my favorite characters. I love him. And when we were in Epcot outside of the Figment ride in the garden area, usually you can find Pooh Bear catching butterflies or Joy. And I'm sitting there waiting and Joy comes out and a cast member came and was like, Pooh Bear is on an adventure with Tigger today. He won't be out. I'm so sorry. And I was like,
no.
Okay. Like, okay. And so in Magic Kingdom, I didn't know he was going to be on the One Fantasyland Cavalcade. And so I'm wearing Winnie the Pooh ears. I'm living my best Winnie the Pooh life. And I see him. Him and I make eye contact. He does like his little happy dance of like, oh my gosh, like you're wearing me on your head. It's my, you have Pooh Bear ears. And he blew me a kiss, gave me a hug. After that, I'm a sobbing mess. I'm crying. I was done.
He got the message from Epcot the day before, and you know, somebody told him, like, Pooh, you got to come back from that adventure, man. You got to make, he checked, like, he knew that you had a theme park reservation. That's why we have theme park reservations. He knew you'd be at the Magic Kingdom at some point. Yeah, it made it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, that was just, it wasn't the rides that day. It wasn't how many rides I could get. No, it was just being there with my parents, having this interaction with Pooh Bear, and, you know, just enjoying the day and just chatting with my parents, talking to some cast members, and just watching all these Cavalcades go through like no other. And just walking around Magic Kingdom was just so magical for us.
I love that, because I am so of that school of it's not always about the attractions. It's not about doing 12 things or 20 things or 7 things. It's just about maybe 3 things that are relaxing, that are with friends or family, and just, you know, making the memories. And like you said, I mean, for a lot of people, you're not going to see that on a commercial for the most part. You're not going to see like somebody sitting outside of Pecos Bills across from Splash Mountain watching, you know, characters go by. But I mean, that's important to you. And that's, but then again, if you think about the commercials, what do you see? You see parades and people waving at characters. I mean, maybe you're doing exactly what the marketing is doing. I don't know. I think of rides, but I think that everybody has a different goal. And if it's just being with those you love and enjoying the day, I mean, you're at the Magic Kingdom for a day, you know, taking it all in. That, I think that's winning right there.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I was like, it's busier today. Without Fast Pass in Magic Kingdom, sometimes I feel like it's a pain in the butt. But yes. I was like, you know, I got on the rides I wanted. I got to see Pooh Bear. And then we got to eat dinner at Crystal Palace, which was by far our favorite meal there. It was so good.
Now, was that back when it was still kind of barbecue when they reopened it?
It was. Oh, shoot. What did I have? I know, like, I had like the fried chicken with like the mac and cheese.
Right, right. Yeah, it wasn't the typical menu that they used to have. Yeah, they have more of a kind of a southern kind of taste to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
See, I could go for that any day. That's my kind of food too. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Okay, so let me ask you, because we're running a little bit out of time, but I want to make sure we get this in. So the last day, I don't watch a lot of Disney Plus. I watch The Mandalorian. That's about it. So I haven't been watching. I keep my subscription just so I have all the copies of Star Wars. I watch those movies over and over. But you watch the series finale of WandaVision in your hotel. Hey, Disney probably appreciated that. So that's pretty good. I have no idea what that's all about. I just know the one guy has a weird looking head and the other lady looks like she's from the 50s. That's all I know. But you spent some time at Disney Springs. So and also you said you had a Dole Whip nachos, which I've heard people talk about Dole Whip nachos. It just seems like those two don't mesh. Like, want Dole Whip. That's like a semi-ice cream kind of treat. And nachos. You got to explain that to me. Because am I missing out on something here? Are they good?
I think it was so good. I didn't know what to expect. Because we went to Disney Springs with my one cousin. And she was like, you need to share these with me. And I was like, that doesn't sound like it mixes well. But it was so good. Because it was just like the waffle cone and then it was like broken up into chips. So those were your chips.
Oh, so it's not salt. Okay, well, I'm all in on that. Yeah, because then it's not salty chips. Okay, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that'd be so good. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm getting this. Okay. Yeah.
Waffle cone with Dole Whip and then, like, some fresh pineapple, some whipped cream, fresh berries. Like, it was so good and refreshing. 10 out of 10, I recommend it. It's so good.
And you guys were at Disney Springs, you said, in the afternoon. Was that kind of good? Because Disney Springs tends to get kind of nutty in the evenings.
Yeah, so it was nice because we went in the afternoon. We got done, like, what we needed to do. And then around dinner time, we actually left and just got Chick-fil-A and brought it back to our hotel room.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because we were like, let's just do that because it's easier and we can just sit in our room and relax on our last night. So the plan worked out really well.
So let me ask you one other thing you kind of put at the end of this note was that you guys used Magical Express. Your mother was in a wheelchair. And I get this question a lot at the travel agency and just from folks that listen to the show that email me about, you know, using a wheelchair and the motor coaches with Magical Express. And you said that was not a problem. So how did that work out? And just explain that for folks that are in this situation moving forward. Well, I guess you don't have it much longer. We got a couple of months, three months.
Yeah, it's not going to be here much.
I totally forgot. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Here's the answer to your question, by the way, it's going to be irrelevant in like 90 days.
Yeah. So if you're going in like the next few months, it's so easy. When we first got there was going to be a really long wait for a motor coach with wheelchair access. So they just gave us a Mears taxi for free.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I kind of figured they might do.
Yeah. So they did that on the way to the hotel. But when we left Pop Century to go back to the airport, they made sure that there was one there for a wheelchair. And so they were just like, all right, like, here we go, buckle up. And they just hooked her on the, like, lifter in her wheelchair, lifted her right on into it, and just got her strapped up, and we were good to go within, like, 10 minutes. It was so easy.
That's how it should be. I mean, it sounds like it worked out well, and that's how it should be. Because everybody wants, I mean, I really believe this. Like, you need to have a magical start to your vacation, and it can start at the airport. You know, it can start at your home. For me, when I go down to Walt Disney World, the excitement starts at my St. Louis airport, right? Because, you know, I'm now away from the house. I'm getting ready to go to Florida. I just started flying. Like, I still think the airplane ride down, I look down, you know, at all the landmarks. I'm like that Dr. Rick guy on TV. I like looking at the highways and all the lakes and stuff. It's like the first ride of the trip, and then I get to Orlando Airport, and I'm all excited. And then, you know, you want the end of the trip to be, you know, not so miserable. You're already going home, and you're kind of sad. You got to go back to work. You got to go to school, what have you, back to the real world. But, I mean, it's nice when Magical Express can kind of ease you back to Orlando International and ease you back to your home airport. Then once you get to your home airport, it's just got to find your car, and then too bad.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Welcome back, sucker. That's how it usually goes. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show and taking the time to share this trip. It sounds like it was awesome. So do you have any thoughts on when you might be headed back down again?
We have one planned, actually. 2 weeks, like 2 weeks after we got back, I was like, so we're going to go back for the 50th. No shocker, parents. Here we go. And we're actually going the last week of April next year for the 50th. And I'm so excited.
We'll have to talk about that and get your thoughts on all that and find out what you thought. So, hey, thank you so much for starting the week the right way. This has been a lot of fun. And thank your parents, too, for the great, you know, they're kind of supporting characters in today's show.
Yes.
I sure appreciate that,
yes,
too. So have a good one out in Indiana. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your Disney trip planning needs. We'd love to help you celebrate 50 years of Walt Disney World here over the next 18, 20, 22, 36 months. Who knows how long this celebration is going to go, but it's going to go for a while. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to see and do, and I would love to personally help you plan that great vacation. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that quote form, mention the Be Our Guest podcast, and I promise you I'll take great care of you. Again, over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click means a lot to us, and thank you to our patrons who allow us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of your support we get to keep doing this show many, many times each week. If you'd like to get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just jump on over to patreon.com slash Be Our Guest podcast. Now's the time to follow on social media. I'm headed down on Thursday at Be Our Guest Mike. Give me a follow right now on Instagram and Twitter. I'll be updating all the happenings from the 50th anniversary this coming weekend. So jump on over there again at Be Our Guest Mike, Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow the show on Facebook and YouTube. We'll be posting content there as well. All right, we're going to get out of here and wish you a happy Monday. So for Lauren, I'm Mike saying, have a great Monday, but it's time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.